When news came in that Michelle McCarris's car had flipped off the highway at an exit ramp, Paul Rule was sitting at his desk in the back corner of the police station, chewing on a chicken BLT roll and brooding on fate. The traffic event was a welcome distraction. Michelle was the wife of his predecessor as head detective in Katoomba. The handsome McCarris couple in their early 50s were stalwarts of the town, involved in a wide range of community activities. An event like this would be a profound interest for many residents. It would not have been a detective job normally, but the station's other senior staff were away, leaving Paul in charge. He leapt up and grabbed his coat. His suit was black and Hugo Boss. Paul had been a lead investigator in the Sydney Homicide Squad until 3 months ago, when he disgraced himself and been exiled to the Blue Mountains. Here the suit was out of place and marked him as an outsider. This did not worry him at all. Some days it was all that kept him going. "Harvey," he called. At this point, as always, everything slowed down. John Harvey was the only other detective in Katoomba, and he was not fast. At first, Paul had suspected Harvey had been brought in to frustrate him so much that he'd resign. But it turned out he'd served under Brad McCarris too. Now, Harvey looked around for a few seconds before identifying the person who'd spoken. Paul, who knew that impatience made his assistant nervous, took a deep breath. "Traffic accident, mate." "Oh, we don't do traffic." On Harvey's desk sat a plastic container of lasagna, fresh from the luncheon microwave and giving off an odour that both attracted and repelled. Paul explained that it was Brad McCarris's wife, expecting this to jolt Harvey into action. He knew the two men had worked on good terms. When Brad had handed over the job to Paul, he'd actually described Harvey as solid and reliable. A lie, but no doubt well meant. Harvey patted his head. He was losing his hair, which seemed to surprise him constantly. "She hurt?" "Apparently not. How's the Camry?" "Too early to say." Despite the buzz of conversation that news of the accident had caused in the station, Harvey remained unmoved. "I'll come down in 5 minutes, in the other car." Paul doubted this. It was a big slab of Larry Sag. Harvey's wife kept him well fed, and the constable ate as slowly as he did everything else. "We have to go now. Maybe I could bring my lunch." Paul considered his options, but as always these days, they were cruelly limited. He went over to the pegs on the wall and grabbed his puffer jacket, sliding it on with synthetic ease. It was a style of garment he'd resisted at first, thinking it soft and certainly incompatible with the Hugo. But soon the reality of autumn in the Blue Mountains had forced itself upon him. Now, in May, the temperature often didn't make it into two digits, and the really cold months still lay ahead. The shift super, Owen Carroll, was pulling on his own jacket and said, "I've sent two cars out, mate. It's under control." Most people at the station simply ignored Paul, but Carroll could be actively rude. He had hair like chopped straw and ears almost at right angles to his skull. "That right, Sergeant," Paul said. "I'll deal with it. You'll stay here. Traffic, mate." The point being that Paul knew little about vehicle accidents, which provided much of the excitement for the mountains policing. "I'm ordering you to stay here, mate." Pause. "Probably the wrong decision, you reckon? But it's my decision." The bitterness in the air hit Paul as he made the run to his Toyota RAV, parked in the street rather than the station yard for quick getaways. The vehicle could have doubled as a refrigerator, but he'd be getting out soon and decided not to turn the heating on for the 10-minute drive. He had to toughen up like the locals. They all assumed he'd resign soon on account of the cold or the simple indignity of his situation. This minor position was well below Paul's rank, his experience and his talents. And that was enough reason not to resign for the moment. But Paul needed to find a better one if he was to last here much longer. On the Great Western Highway, he headed east, dodging the huge trucks that raced towards Sydney. Despite the cold, the sky was pure, light blue with no trace of cloud. There was time for just one song, Amy McDonald's version of Born to Run. Paul liked covers and listened to a lot of music at home. He could pick his own songs, being a single man since his divorce 2 years earlier. He listened in the car too, sometimes to deter Harvey from conversation. There were some magnificent glimpses of the Jamison Valley on the right, a reminder the town was in the middle of a million hectares of national park. But he kept his eyes on the road, which linked all the towns through the mountains. The transition from the quiet local streets to the manic highway, so often required up here, was potentially fatal. It was like passing into a parallel universe where everything moved five times as quickly. You had to adapt your mental state in a matter of seconds, Otherwise, you might be doomed.